So first, it was time for a little traffic problem in Fort Lee. Now it's time for a little speed bump on Chris Christie's drive to the White House. The backups at the George Washington Bridge last September have turned into a very big problem for a governor with a very big personality and very big mouth. I have to confess that until last week, I thought the flap over the traffic-snarling lane closings was a partisan tempest in a teapot, a sign of the feckless frustration of New Jersey Democrats. I was wrong. This was bad stuff. As Christie admitted during his bravura performance at the media whipping post on Thursday, top Christie aides, along with people he appointed to the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, showed a petty vindictiveness and a contempt for the public good that takes your breath away. A lot of commentators have said Christie's mix of profuse apology and pugnacious braggadocio last week was as good as it gets in the art of damage control. Maybe so, but a few observations. While Christie admitted his aides betrayed the public trust, the reason he harped on for firing them was that they lied to him, betrayed him, humiliated him. He did admit that he'd been stupid early in the controversy to snarl sarcastically at reporters. But what was far stupider was to be so confidently dismissive after giving his staff only 1 hour's notice before a news conference to alert him to any problems. If you worked for someone with a temper and tongue as savage as Chris Christie's, might it not take more than 60 minutes for you to get up the nerve to fess up? Bridgegate is catching fire as a scandal precisely because it plugs so neatly into long-standing concerns about the man. His appeal as blunt, straight talker has a dark flip side, the arrogant bully. Lots of time will now be spent on that classic question. What did the governor know and when did he know it? But even if we stipulate the governor was in the dark, that doesn't let him off the hook. People who worked closely for him for years didn't hesitate to indulge in snarky vengeance, spiking the ball in the face of woefully overmatched foes. And no inner voice told them not to. They obviously thought they were doing just what the boss would want. And what does that say about a man who would be president? I'm Chris Cetullo.